As we prepare for our prayer time tonight, I'd like to share with you concerning God's comfort. There's a song that you probably have heard, and it says, "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." And I wonder if we could say, "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of comfort." Is that your need tonight? Are you in need of God's wonderful comfort? How much do you really need His comfort? Those in deep sorrow need God's joy. Those who are depressed need God's hope. Those who are going through deep trials need God's comfort. And if you come to the living God, you will never be disappointed, because He is the great comforter. The title of our little devotional thought tonight is this: The Triune Comforter. By this I mean that God the Father is our comforter, God the Holy Spirit is our comforter, and God the Son is our comforter. The Lord is my comforter, I shall not lack. What a wonderful thing. What does it mean to comfort someone? Well, it means to soothe in times of affliction or distress, to give strength and hope and encouragement to someone going through a difficult time, to ease someone's grief. As a pillow provides softness and comfortableness for the head, so comfort gives relief and rest for the soul. So as we think about the Triune Comforter, I'd like us to first consider God the Father as our comforter. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. He's the source of all comfort. And when you think of that word comfort, think of the word encouragement. He's the God of every kind of encouragement, the God of all comfort, every kind of encouragement. God has just the kind of encouragement that you need for whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever difficulty you face. No believer has ever had a problem that was beyond God's ability to bring comfort. Look at verse 4. The God of all comfort goes on and it says, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Why does He do that? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God or by God. He comforts us in all our tribulation, all of our trouble, no matter what pressure is upon you, no matter what problem you are facing, God the Father is there to bring comfort. I love the hymn which says, every day the Lord Himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. We just read, He's the Father of mercies. All my cares He fain would bear and cheer me, He whose name is Counselor and Power. Help me then in every tribulation so to trust Thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet, what? Consolation. What's that word mean? Comfort. And we'll see that word in this very passage in just a moment. But again, verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God comforts us in our times of trouble so that we can comfort others in their times of trouble. The one comforted by God should turn around and seek to comfort and bring comfort to someone else. I want to share with you a brief story of how God comforted my heart this past weekend when I was in need of comfort, because I was not in a good place emotionally in light of something that had happened. We were helping a dear believer move on the weekend, or Friday, I think it was, whenever it was. And I'd rented a U-Haul trailer, a 15-footer, fairly good size. And we loaded it up, took it to the new apartment where the person was moving in, and I was the driver. It's never going to happen again. Adam Boone's going to be the driver from now on. So I was driving up to where we're going to unload, and on the right-hand side was a car, and on the left-hand side was a curb. And I didn't see any problem going right through the middle. And the front of my truck went easily through. But you know, U-Haul trailers are wider in the back than they are in the front. And I heard this scrape. I knew just what it was. This poor Volkswagen sitting there was scraped pretty badly on the driver's side. The driver was nowhere to be found. It was not around when it happened. We had no way to contact the person. I can't tell you how bad I felt. Put yourself in my shoes. Just the emotional pain. I mean, I want to help people. I don't want to cause distress to people. And I knew when they found this car, they would not be happy campers. Well, time went on. I actually had to leave the scene, not hit and run, but our men were still there. And I had to return the truck to the U-Haul place. And then I called Jim Taylor on the phone to instruct him as far as writing a note for the car. And right when I called him, the people came out. Unbelievable, the response these people had. When this dear lady saw the car, she had only had this car for a month. It was used, but in mint condition, not one scratch on the entire car. It had never leaked a drop of oil, and there was a puddle underneath. And she was having a hard time at first. And her relatives that were, her husband and others were there, not very happy, and it was my joy to talk to them on the phone. That was a hard thing. Anyway, the Lord got us through it. At the end, their attitude had somewhat changed. I had gone back there. I met them in person. They shook our hands. They thanked us for staying and so forth. But it was a very difficult thing. I'm still not fully over that, as you can imagine. But God comforted me. And as I drove to the U-Haul place to return the vehicle, I sang, "I am satisfied." It was not done with the most gusto I've ever done in my life, but I did it. And God, little by little, comforted me in that situation. Now I can't wait till I have a chance to comfort others. I can't wait for someone to come and scratch my car and run into it. Maybe I'm not there and I'll come out later and they're there and I'll say, "Wow, what happened?" And I'll have a smile on my face and I'll say, "That's just a car, no problem. Insurance will probably take care of it. Let's not get all upset over a little accident. You didn't mean to do that. Maybe I can be a testimony in sharing that with a future accident at my expense. I really don't care what happens to my car. Because nothing can happen unless God allows it, right? So I think our attitude and things like that is so important. We can be a testimony. So we can comfort others when God comforts us. Look at verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation. Remember what that means, comfort. Our comfort also abounded by Christ. We have afflictions, we have sufferings, we have trials, we have hard things. But God's going to give us all the comfort and consolation we need as we go through those times. What a wonderful God. Well, God the Father is our comforter. He's the God of all comfort. Now, you all know the Holy Spirit is our comforter, don't you? Because we read that of him four times in the Gospel of John, in the Lord's Upper Room Discourse, twice in John 14, once in John 15, once in John 16, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. Let's go to one of those places, John 16. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Now, I actually meant to show you verse 7, because that's where he's called the Comforter. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. What exactly does that word mean, the Comforter? It actually means one who is called to our side to help us, or to comfort us, or to encourage us. So when you think of Comforter, think of helper. Think of comforter. Think of encourager. One who's right there to encourage us. And of course, technically, he's not just at our side, is he? He's in us. He's indwelling us. Our heart is his home. The Comforter is in us. Look in John 14, it actually tells us that. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Never going to leave you. Not like the Holy Spirit left King Saul in the Old Testament. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. God has not left us comfortless. God has not left us without comfort. And we're told the Comforter is within us. Now, how does the Holy Spirit comfort us? This is important to think about. You would agree with me that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures. For example, 2 Peter 1:21, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." He is the author of Scripture. The divine author. So my question is, What is one of the chief ways in which the Holy Spirit comforts us? How does he do that? Look in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Where does the comfort come from? It comes from the Scriptures. And who is the author of the Scriptures? The Holy Spirit. Now, I can imagine a believer saying this to the Holy Spirit. Why am I not receiving comfort from you? You're the comforter. Where is my comfort? And I can imagine the Holy Spirit answering, I've given you lots and lots and lots of comfort, and it's found in the Holy Scriptures. Why haven't you been reading my book? That's where you will find comfort for your heart. So don't blame me for your refusal to avail yourself of my comfort. All the comfort that you've been given in the book which I have inspired. So one of the chief ways in which the Holy Spirit comforts us is through the book that he has authored. Dear friends, find comfort in the Bible. And if you're not in the Word of God daily, think of the comfort you're going to be lacking. Well, God the Father is our comforter. He's the God of all comfort. God the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And the source of our comfort comes from the Scriptures which he has inspired. Now we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Does the Bible teach that Jesus Christ is our comforter? Turn to John 14. And verse 16, and I will pray, Jesus is speaking, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now, if the Holy Spirit is another comforter, and that means another of the same kind, then this means that the disciples had a comforter before the Holy Spirit came. In other words, Jesus was saying, I've been your comforter for the last 3.5 years. I've been called to your side to help you, to comfort you, to encourage you all these years. But now I'm about to leave you. I'm going to go back to heaven. But here's the good news. I'm going to give you another comforter, another person just like me. And he's going to be called the Comforter. So the Lord Jesus, you might say, was the first comforter, and the Holy Spirit came later, starting on the day of Pentecost. He was another comforter of the same kind. Please turn to Luke chapter 2. Jesus Christ is our comforter. We see that also in this passage, Luke chapter 2. You remember the old man Simeon, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. He was waiting for, he was eagerly expecting, he was eagerly looking for what? The consolation of Israel. Did you know that's a title for the Messiah? Jesus Christ the Messiah is the consolation of Israel. He's the comfort of Israel. Look in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. This is a wonderful passage speaking about the Messiah's first coming. It gives hints of his second coming as well, but notice in verse 3 that speaks of John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord. Familiar passage to you, I believe. But look how the whole chapter begins, introducing the Messiah's coming. Verse 1, comfort ye, my people. Why should you be all comforted? Because the consolation of Israel is going to come to this earth in his first coming. He is the great comforter. Now, as we think about the Lord Jesus as our comforter, I want to ask, well, how does the Lord Jesus comfort us? And I'm sure there are many ways. But here's one of the most wonderful ways. The Lord Jesus greatly comforts us when we sin. When we sin. When we sin, we have a comforter. So look in 1 John chapter 2. My little children, verse 1. These things write I unto you, that you sin not. Don't sin. And if any man sin, so first we have the prohibition against sin, but then we have God recognizing the possibility of sin. If any man sin, and as believers we do from time to time. If any man sin, we have a comforter with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. That word translated here, advocate, is the very same word, comforter, that we found four times in the Upper Room Discourse describing the Holy Spirit. It's the very same word. Jesus Christ has been called alongside of us to help and to represent us. Now, in this particular verse, it's speaking about almost like a courtroom situation, because Satan is the great accuser of the brethren. We're told in Scripture he accuses the brethren day and night. And how sad that many of his accusations against us are true. He says that person sinned, and we have to confess and say, that's true, I did. Satan was right. Now, when he accused Job, he was not right, he was wrong. But often, sadly, when he accuses us before God, he's often correct. So it's the word comforter, but in this case, he's our comforter, he's our helper in court. And someone who's our helper in court is called an advocate or a defense attorney. to represent us against the terrible accusations of the evil one. We need that kind of comfort, don't we? We need that kind of advocacy. And verse 2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. When you think of propitiation, think of the word satisfaction. God the Father was totally satisfied that his Son, Jesus Christ, paid the price of your sins in full. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And our advocate can say, yes, it is true that God's child, perhaps one of you, it's true that he or she sinned. But I died for that person. I paid the penalty for their sins. And the Father is perfectly satisfied that Christ took care of it all. Thank God for that. Now let's close our brief devotional tonight with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We have the God of all comfort. We have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who's the comforter. And we have the consolation of Israel, Jesus Christ, our advocate. Now here in chapter 2 of Thessalonians, the chapter ends with two wonderful verses about comfort. Verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and even our Father, so here we have both the Father and the Son, the Father which hath loved us and hath, look what he's given us, hath given us, what kind of comfort? Eternal or everlasting consolation. Wow. Eternal comfort, everlasting encouragement. That's something the world can never give us. Let's see you go to Walmart and try to buy everlasting comfort. No way. Only God can give us this. Unending consolation, unending encouragement, unending comfort, and good hope through grace. And then he goes on, may God and the Lord Jesus, may they comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Praise the Lord. Well, I was thinking about that term, everlasting comfort. And then it dawned on me, I thought of a man who actually had everlasting comfort. A man mentioned in the scriptures. Eternal consolation. So I want to show you that before we close. Luke 16. Luke 16, you remember the account of the rich man and Lazarus? And remember that poor man Lazarus, he had a rough time on this earth, very rough time. And the rich man didn't treat him too well. But look at verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send this is the rich man saying this, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now we have the great reversal. The great reversal. But now Lazarus is comforted, and you, the rich man, are tormented. And for how long? Forever. Lazarus is going to enjoy that everlasting consolation and comfort. He's never going to be in misery again. And the rich man is going to suffer everlasting torment, described elsewhere as everlasting punishment. So, my friends, whatever trials you're going through, some of you have been through some real hard things of late, some very painful things. And some of you have been going through things I'm not even aware of. But whatever it is, those afflictions and tribulations are but for a second. And the comfort that you're going to have is for all eternity. Just like was true with Lazarus. Now you are comforted. And when we pass the river of death or are taken in rapture, from then on, nothing but comfort. So let's be strong as we go through these trials. They're but for a moment, right? And they're very light, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. So hallelujah, what a comforter. As those belonging to the triune God, we have amazing access to God's manifold comfort and overwhelming encouragement.